We're going to open our Bibles again, and we're going to turn to 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. And that's page 1225 of your Pew Bibles. We're reading from verse 1 to verse 17. Continuing our series tonight called Reality Check and the Reality of Our Living. So this is the word of God. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he's commanded is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is a message you have heard. Yet, I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lusts of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. Amen. And may the Lord bless and challenge us with the reading of his word. So again, as we continue, as I said, this sermon series on Reality Check, we're going to be thinking about the reality of living. And for me, I know I'm being really lazy with this illustration, going back to when I was at school, but when I was at school, to be totally honest with you, I became a Christian at 12, and yes, there was a change, but really, I wasn't that much different than the people around me. I was pretty similar to everybody else. There wasn't a massive difference. And you know, there are also times in my life from I was at school, just periods of time when I haven't been much different at all to the rest of the world, the people who are around me. I haven't been living differently. But with Jesus in our lives, we are called to live differently. And tonight, we're starting where we finished last week. We finished with these first two verses of John 2, verses 1 and 2, focusing on Jesus, his role in the reality of our living. And the challenge at the end of the last evening service was that we were to bring to God and to confess to him our sins, those things that were keeping us back from God, stopping us enjoying our relationship with God. And we laid them at the cross, taking them to the cross because of all that Jesus has done for us. Or maybe you were thinking of things that you want to give more of to Jesus, parts of your life that you want to give more to him. Maybe you wanted to pray more, witness more, praise him more, worship him more. And again, to leave that at the cross and allow Jesus to strengthen us. And the reality of our living is that once we come to know Jesus and to follow him, it changes everything. As we seek to live for him, we live differently. The reality of our living, also because we are living differently, is that our lives can be difficult. And you know, as we talked about last week, we can mess up. But we need to allow ourselves to understand that Jesus is there for us. Because the reality of our living is that we live under the protection of Jesus. As it says in verse 1 there in front of you, I hope you've got this open because we'll be in and out of this quite a lot. You know, if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks for us in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is our protector, our defender. His righteousness covers us. We could never, and we can never, be truly righteous. The reality is that we need Jesus as our defender. And the reality is that because of Jesus' role in our protection, that we can go to him, we can confess our sins, and we can be forgiven, we can repent and make our life different again. As Norman said this morning, we are a work in progress. We will mess up, and there will be times in our lives when we won't be much different from the rest of the world. But we can come back to Jesus. He is our protection. We also see that we live under the sacrifice of Jesus in verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus died on the cross for us, taking the punishment for everything that we have done wrong, our rebellion, all of our selfishness. And all of us, everyone, must respond to that. And this must be the reality of our living. We respond to Jesus, his sacrifice, under his protection, and it changes how we live. We should be different to the rest of the world. And why are we to be different? Because we live to know God, because of the sacrifice of Jesus. We want to know God and his love in us. Verse 3, there's lots of about knowing God in this passage. We know that we have come to know him. Verse 5, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Verse 12, because we have known him who was from the beginning. As Christians, this is our goal, to know God more, to have his love in us. But it's interesting, the phrase in verse 5 about God's love is truly made complete in us, it could mean three different things. It could mean God's love for us. We've got God's love for us in us, or it's our love for God, or we have in us the kind of love that God shows. Hope that makes sense. Not sure. Anyway, but I think it could mean all three of these. That as Christians, we desire to know God's love for us because of the sacrifice of Jesus and what that means and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We desire to know more of God's love. And then as we know more of God's love, we understand that it's a giving love, a sacrificial love. It's different to any human love, which really is selfish and looks out for number one. With God's love in us, our response is love for God, which means we show the same kind of love to the world out there as well. When we understand God's love, we show sacrificial love, and we go there and we want to share his love that he shows us, we want to show out. And the reality of our Christian living is that we must be radically different from before we met or started to follow Jesus. Because the more we love God, the more we get to know him, understand his sacrifice, living under his protection, that changes us. But what should these different lives look like? What should our lives actually look like? And John, in this part of his letter, points to three things which should serve as a reality check to each and every one of us that prove or test the reality of our relationship with God, that difference that has been made. They stand as proof to the reality of us knowing Jesus, his love. They are the test of our experience of Jesus. So we've got our reality check. And first is that we obey God. In verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Simple. Sounds so simple. And there's a confidence in that statement. There's a confidence that we are in Jesus. We know Jesus if we obey his commands. Jesus said in John 14, he said, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teachings. Well, how do we obey God? How do we do that? Well, the Old Testament, whenever they would say the word hear in the Hebrew or Aramaic, it basically means the same as obey. So if you hear, you obey. You hear the words of God, you obey. It all means the same thing. So we need to hear the word of God. We hear that when we come to church. We hear that when we read our Bibles. How can we know how to obey God? We need to discover what God's commandments is. And if we're not reading our Bibles, how are we discovering them? Reading our Bibles interactively. Maybe some people like to draw in their Bibles or underline important things. I like to have a piece of paper beside me. I just one of those guys who can't really write in his Bible yet. But, you know, and just write down, what is God saying in this passage? Not just read it, but say, what is God saying to me in this passage? What does he want me to apply in my life? How can I obey him here? And then to put it into practice. Even the difficult things, we finished a sermon series recently on the Sermon on the Mount. And there's so many things in that Sermon on the Mount that are difficult to do, to obey, whether to turn the other cheek or to give more than we are asked for. There's so many difficult things that we have to do if we're going to obey God's teaching. That's why it's difficult to live differently to the world. But we are called, if we love the Lord Jesus, to obey the word of God. There's a warning here as well in verse 4. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar and the truth is not in him. If we are not obeying God, what does that say about the reality of our relationship with God? Our reality check, verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. We obey because we love and we experience the love of God. Are we obeying? And again, Jesus is our example in all things. He said, and we read it in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Jesus obeyed his Father. Before the cross, he swept drops of blood, and he said, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus obeyed the Father. He came to this earth for us to suffer, to sacrifice for us. He obeyed the Father to death and ultimately to victory for us. So we must obey. Let the reality of our living be that we obey God. The next in our reality check, we read that we need to walk like Jesus. In verse 5, it says, this is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Well, you read, must walk like Jesus did, means that we need to live like Jesus did. So I'm going to ask you to do a wee bit of work for me. So you have to wake up, Adam. And I want you to turn to the person beside you. I want you to just discuss for a couple of minutes, how do we walk like Jesus? What does that actually mean in our lives? So I want you to discuss this. Somebody take pity on Karen, because she'll have to talk to Abigail, and that's just not fair. So I just want you to just have a couple of minutes just to talk. And then I'm going to ask for answers, feedback. Oh, never done that before. Might not work. We'll try it. I just want you to think, how do we walk like Jesus? Go. Okay, so just break into that. So what do we think? How do we, what does that mean? How do we walk like Jesus? Anybody, just somebody, sorry, I'll shout something out. We love, okay, yes. What else does it mean to walk like Jesus? Show compassion. You two had a good conversation. You weren't talking about the weather. That's brilliant. Eh? Anything else? I heard a little, sorry. Spending time alone with God, because Jesus did that many times. He took time to himself to spend time with God. Anything else? I can't figure out where I came from. Oh, hang on. It's the Scottish accent. One more time, sorry. He met the needs of those around them. Yeah, him, yes. Excellent. Thank you. Sorry about that. One more. Come on, one more. He challenged the worldview. He stood up and he said, this is not the way that God wants us to live. He saw things that were wrong and he challenged that. And he was not very popular with a lot of individuals because of that. But we need to walk like Jesus. So we need to, as has been said, there's so many things about spending time alone with God, walking and living like him. We need to obey God again. Coming back to that first point, we need to obey what Jesus said. We need to be disciples. Jesus' disciples would have followed him, literally following him, watching what he did, everything he said, his interactions with different people. And we need to be disciples like them. Looking in our Bibles and seeing how Jesus interacted with people, how he showed compassion, how he stood up for the oppressed, how he showed love, how he would stop what he was doing to love individuals, how he pointed people to God, how he forgave on the cross, how he sacrificed, how he spent time with those 12 and then the other disciples as well, building into them, challenging them, encouraging them. We also need to use our gifts that we have been given by the Holy Spirit. It says of Jesus in Acts 10, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Are we known of as going around doing good? When people speak of Stevie Orr, do they say he goes around doing good? Thanks. Appreciate that. Or what do they say about us? Bringing salvation to those who are under the power of the devil. That's what Jesus did. We are called to live like Jesus, walk like Jesus. We are to bring the good news of Jesus to this world. Are we walking like Jesus? There's the warning there of verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Claims. If we're doing this, we must do it, or else it's just lies. And Marshall says this, the test of our religious experience is whether it produces a reflection of the life of Jesus in our daily life. If it fails this elementary test, it is false. And Jesus is the example we are to live by. Even after he washed the disciples' feet, he said to them, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He was humble. He was a servant. Let the reality of our living be that we walk like Jesus. Then we have the reality, as we continue our reality check, that we are called to love each other. The section from verse 7 down to verse 11 basically tells us that we are called to love each other. So, what I want you to do is I want you to turn to your neighbor, and I want you to say, how can we do this? Obviously, we'll be very good at this. It'll be very quick because we're really good at loving our neighbors. So I want you just to discuss, how do we love each other? What does that look like in our Christian lives? Go. So what have we got? How do we love each other? What does that look like in real life? I know what Gareth Marcus is thinking. He's thinking, power hose in the neighbor's driveway. Gareth, if you want to do that in my house, no bother, big lad. So, what have we got? Come on. I really need to get a hearing aid. Sorry. Encourage. Yes, loving each other means that we encourage each other. Anything else? Trust. Trusting each other, very good, yes. Look at everyone through the eyes of Jesus, not through our eyes, which put so many other things on them, our own little taint. Yep. I think somebody said listening to people, yeah. Listening, yes, absolutely. Spending time together, listening, sharing life together. I think in this world we are so very good at not doing that. You know, we're very good at being individualistic and spending time. Oh, I need some me time. But we need to spend time together to encourage each other, to listen to each other. One more, come on, one more. Something about darkness. A light in darkness. Blinded by the darkness. Okay, and somebody else behind you then was trying to say something as well. Sorry? Pray with each other. Excellent. Did you read my notes? That's brilliant. Yeah, but it's like we are called to love each other. So that means that we do spend time with each other. We share life together. Fellowship. And as a church, we need to do that more. Because how can we love each other as a church, as Christians, if we don't spend time together, if we just walk out the door and don't talk to each other? We're called to pray for each other, to confess to each other and to pray for each other, having friendships, relationships, loving each other so much that we can do that. How many people have got that friend who they can confess to and know that they will pray for them, help each other, holding each other accountable in our Christian lives? If we see a sin issue in somebody's life, that we can go up and we can say, oi, out of love, obviously. You know, you need to sort this out. Serving each other, building each other up, forgiving each other. Maybe the last one is the hardest one. Again, Jesus is our example. In John 15, he said, my command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loved them. He spent time with them, built into them. He died for all of us. But again, there's a warning in verse 11. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He doesn't know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Hate. Blinded. Not knowing where they are going. I hope this is not the reality of our living. That we allow unforgiveness to destroy our walk with the Lord. Even just how it says about just the visual, just think of that. if we are not loving each other, if we have got things that are holding us back, hatred for others, that is basically blinding us. And we are walking around like we don't know where we are going, aimlessly, not walking with the Lord, not obeying God. And in verse 10, it says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Could it be that the reason many Christians stumble is because we do not have love? If we love our brothers, it means that we will not stumble. We've got our priorities right. We are walking like Jesus. We are obeying God. But if we stumble, is it a forgiveness issue? Is it a hate issue? We need to deal with that and ensure that we are loving each other. So think about your relationships. Jesus said this, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We are called to be a witness to the world, and we do that in how we love one another. There's an interesting section here between verses 12 and 14. And I think it kind of shows the importance of obeying, walking with Jesus, and loving each other. And it's a repetitive thing. I've kind of tried to put them... It's moved. Anyway, it was supposed to be opposite each other. But anyway, so you can see how they're very, very similar. But you know, the first one here basically shows us how we have the protection of Jesus and his sacrifice. Because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. You have known the Father. Then, if you look at the next set to the fathers, it talks about you have known him who is from the beginning. To know God, to know God's love, we are called to do that. And then we've got this young man one. Where it talks about you have overcome the evil one in the first time. But then the second time it's repeated. It says, you are strong. The word of God lives in you. You have overcome the evil one. And some people think that was this to different age groups or to different leaders groups or whatever. I think it was written to everybody, and all of us must have all of these things in our lives. And especially that young man one. Look at what it says. That they are strong. We can only be strong in the Lord as we obey what God says, as we walk like Jesus, and as we love each other. That's the only way that we can be strong. Then we have got, and the Word of God lives in you. The Word of God lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, this will only happen if we obey God, if we walk like Jesus, if we love each other. If we don't get them right, we could be blinded. And the Word of God will not be in us. These are so important. And then the final one of those three is that overcome the evil one. It says it twice, you have overcome the evil one. And we have to overcome the evil one. And we will only overcome the evil one if we are strong in the Lord, built up in him. We will only overcome the evil one when the word of God is in our lives. And we all need to have this. We all need to obey God, walk like Jesus, love each other. Is this the reality of our living? As you do a reality check right now about how you obey, how you walk, how you love, what does it look like? Because there's a reality of the danger in the last section here. The reality of loving and living like the world. Verses 15 to 17. You could be asked, how much do we love the world? How different are we to the world? When our neighbors look at us, do they know we're Christians? Because of how we obey, how we walk, how we love. Or do they not? The warnings there. The cravings of sin. All around us. It's everywhere we go, the cravings of sin. Are we craving, are we seeking joy from sin? Things which are against God. Thinking of the wrong things. We desire to get our joy, or our minds go to these wrong things instead of thinking about whatever is true, noble, pure, lovely, and admirable. We need to be careful about the cravings of sin. The lust of our eyes, taking our eyes off Jesus, desiring other stuff more than Jesus. Maybe pleasure or selfishness. We need to be aware of the dangers of loving and living like the world. And then boasting of what we have or do. Pride. The danger of pride. It can destroy us. We can start to think that we have got what we have got. We made it. We achieved it. And we stop remembering that it's all a gift from the Lord, and that we live under His sacrifice, and we want to know more of Him and love Him more. How much do we love the world? It's a difficult question to answer. How different are we from the world? See, all of the cravings, the lusts, the boasting of that, the reality is that all of it will pass away. We are told that it will all pass away. And in verse 8, it says, "Yet I am writing you a new command. It is the truth. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." We are to be part of that true light, shining in the darkness, because the darkness will disappear. The world and all of its stuff will disappear. Jesus will return, and when he does return in glory to judge the world, we need to be ready, because we have lived differently. The reality of our living is that we need to be different to the rest of the world. Because of Jesus. We are protected by Jesus and saved because of his atoning sacrifice for us. So we must live to know more about Jesus and his love for us. And the reality of that is that the difference it makes to our lives, it is seen in our obedience to God's word. It is seen in us walking like Jesus walked. It is seen in our loving each other. The very end of our reading, it says, "But the man who does the will of God lives forever." And when Jesus returns, we will be rewarded for our faith in him. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as we come before you, we pray that you will help each and every one of us to do a reality check on our lives now. In light of all that Jesus has achieved for us and our relationship with him, Lord, we pray that each and every one of us will obey you. And Lord, we pray now in the silence that you will move us to think of an area of our lives maybe where we have not been obeying you, or we haven't been discovering from your word. We don't know what your commands are. Holy Spirit, work in our lives. Help us to obey God more. And Lord, as we think of walking like Jesus, we're just in awe of all that Jesus did for us. How he lived in this earth, how he loved, how he served. And again, Holy Spirit, convict each of us if there's an area in our lives which is stopping us walking like Jesus, stopping us having that witness that we should have because we should be walking like him. Help us to give it over to you, to confess it, to leave it at the cross. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to be a loving people. We thank you for the love that is shown in this congregation. We thank you for all of the wonderful pastoral care and the love that is shown in individuals and as a group. But Lord, we pray that you will help us to love each other more, to get to know each other more. And Lord, if we have a hate issue, an unforgiveness issue, Lord, deal with it. Help us to give it over to you. Because if we don't, help us to realize that we are blinded, we are walking around without seeing, lost, aimless. So Lord, help us to walk like Jesus, to obey you, to love you, and to bring your light and your love to this world that so desperately needs it. Be glorified in all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.